Hello and welcome to Light Along the Way, an internet radio program designed to shed some light on the everyday issues of your life. Today, we're going to pick up with The World, the Flesh, and the Devil and part two. I hope you've listened to part one already on the world. Today, we're going to deal with the flesh and the devil. The flesh deals with our own natural inclination to sin or rebellion against God since the Garden of Eden. In order to indulge or gratify ourselves, regardless of the cost to ourselves or others. In Matthew 26, verse 41, we read, "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again in Romans 7, verse 5, we read, "For when we were in the realm of the flesh, the sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in us, so that we bore the fruit of death." You might say, what does that mean, the sinful passions aroused by the law? It's kind of like the idea of our sinful nature, as soon as someone tells us not to do something, that sinful nature in us wants us to do that very thing. I'll give an example. Don't think about chocolate. And right away, that becomes prevalent on our minds. Romans chapter 8, verse 5. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit, meaning the Holy Spirit, have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. Recently, in a trip to Texas, my husband and I were getting hungry, and it was getting later in the day, and we hadn't had dinner and had a very, I don't even know that we'd had lunch actually that day. I think we had breakfast. And we were getting hungry. And we began to talk about what sounded good. And at that particular time, what sounded good to us was chicken and mashed potatoes and gravy and green beans and salad and homemade bread. And we began to talk about that. The more we talked about it, the more hungry we got for it. Unfortunately, however, or sad to say, we did not find a restaurant with that particular menu before retiring for the evening. And in fact, checked into our hotel and he ordered Chinese and had it delivered, and I ordered a pizza. But the mind governed by the flesh begins to think about the flesh and what the flesh desires. Is easily entertained by and feeds on books, movies, conversation that deals with temptation and the things that go against God, such as the things listed in Galatians chapter 5, beginning in verse 19. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery. Debauchery means drunkenness, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now back to Romans 8. It says, therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it's not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit, meaning the Holy Spirit, you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. You notice it didn't say you suppress or try not to think about or those kind of things. It says put to death the misdeeds of the body or the flesh. Not put to sleep for a while. When something is put to death, it no longer has any power. People often put sin to death and then make one decision that serves to resurrect it all the while, using the excuse that nobody's perfect, or I was born this way, or I'm just like my mom, dad, etc., whoever. It's so important that we not use the world, our past, or even someone we admire as a grid to determine what is acceptable and not acceptable to us. Get in the Word. See what is acceptable to God. Remember that verse in part 1 from Romans 12, verse 2? Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. So often, we're not into the whole renewing of our mind thing. We've become so comfortable with the way we think and what we allow to influence us that the whole renewing of our mind just seems so too confusing or too difficult or too controversial or too radical. But we're not to conform to the pattern of this world. We're not to allow our minds to dwell on what the flesh desires. Because most sin begins with a thought. The thought goes through our mind, a temptation perhaps, and we don't deal with it. Then that thought, we begin to roll it over in our minds, and the thought begins to consume us. And before long, we begin to make decisions to carry out that thought. As that becomes our pattern for life, we become in bondage to that sin. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Allow your mind to be renewed by the Word of God. Not some new world teaching or philosophy, but according to the Word of God. Enough said on the flesh. I think you get the idea, and especially after 40 minutes on the world from the previous broadcast. Now let's take a look at the devil. Revelation 12:9 says, the great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth and his angels with him. Who's the leader? Satan is the leader of the world system. He's the leader of the world's philosophies. He's the leader of everything that is contrary to the Word of God. Remember from part 1, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3 that we began with? As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. That is Satan, who leads the whole world astray. John chapter 8, verse 44 says, you belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. So the devil is a liar. He paints a pretty picture. He makes, yes, sin seem pleasurable for a while until you're caught. And then you realize that you're a prisoner. Listen to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. He's a thief. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the feet. Wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from? An enemy did this, he replied. And the enemy who sows them is the devil. According to Matthew 13:39. You're going along fine. You've been raised in church. You've gone to Christian school. You haven't had much to do with the world. But the enemy brings along people to influence you. He brings along a desire to see this movie or that movie, to read this book or that book, to just be led astray just a little bit. No big deal. He sows his seed. He's an infiltrator who takes advantage of those who do not know the truth or have little knowledge of the truth so he can distort it with philosophies, ideologies, and things that may seem to make sense to man. He counts on his ability to convince others of his lies and make the pleasures of sin for a season seem like the reality for a lifetime as he does his best to appeal to the desires of the flesh. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 10, we read, this is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not God's child, nor is anyone who does not love their brother and sister. The one who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. Good news, though. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. Jesus to the rescue. The one who for 40 days was tempted by the devil and he ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. In Luke 4, the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell the stones to become bread. If you remember his response, it was, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Every word, not just some. Then the devil led him up to a high place and showed him an in an instant all the kingdoms of the world to try and tempt and seduce Jesus with power. But he did not fall prey to this temptation as well. Then, in another attempt, the devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down from here. But Jesus, once again, quotes the Word of God. And to no avail was the enemy able to succeed, but left him until a more opportune time. Jesus went on in obedience to the Father, in victory over temptation to begin with. And became obedient even unto death. Hebrews 2:14 says, since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. For surely it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. For this reason, he had to be made like them, fully human in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. So what should we do? What should we say when the world influences us to follow its ways? When our flesh desires to follow the temptation of the world? When the devil, the enemy of our very soul, who would love to keep us in bondage, is at work to deceive us. Ephesians 6, verse 11 says, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. The whole armor of God, are you familiar with it in Ephesians 6? Read it. What's available? For we are in a battle daily with the enemy of our soul. James 4, verse 7 says, submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You cannot resist the devil for very long without submitting yourself to God. You might say, well, you know, I'm a pretty strong person. I have character, and I know how to say no. You might for a little while. People can do the right thing for a while. But without submitting yourselves to God, to His will, to His way, day in and day out, you will not know the victory that is available to you and the help that is available in resisting the devil. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning with verse 17, says, "So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. They're darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they've given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. That, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in Him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught, with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." Ephesians 5. "Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality, or of any kind of impurity, or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a person is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. This is why it is said, 'Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you.' Be very careful, then, how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Let us pray. Thank you, God, for providing a way of escape from the world, the flesh, and the devil through your Son, Jesus Christ. May we be forever grateful. Thank you, Jesus, for though you were tempted, you remained sinless and obedient unto death, not only as a sacrifice for our sin, but to enable us to live in victory, even as you were raised from the dead. May we never forget it. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for the warnings and the Word of God and the power that is ours as we obey it and walk in its truth. Thank you also for interpreting our prayers as we wage war against the world, the flesh, and the devil. May we continue to study the Word of God, that we might show ourselves approved, a workman rightly dividing the Word of God. And now, Father God, as your dearly loved child, I stand in the gap for those who are yet to escape the bondage of the world, the flesh, and the devil. In judgment, remember mercy, and may we never cease to be messengers of your truth in love. I pray that you will continue to strengthen and encourage your own, even as we see the day approaching. Help us to remain faithful to you in all circumstances, knowing that you are able to do exceedingly, abundantly, and above all that we could ask or imagine, according to your power that is at work within us. Amen. Thank you so much for listening today. Feel free to write with any questions or comments you may have. And as always, remember us in your prayers and remember us in your support. God bless.